appreciate Miss Monica getting to fill in, Miss Abigail getting to fill in the other day when we you know, I've never had a shortage of pianists or special singers in all the years of ministry. I've gone to preach in a lot of places, and hey, you can't play the piano, can you? Because they didn't have anybody, and all that right there, and all of that business there. I went to one place, you know, and a dear friend of mine, and he had a gal, but she was a pianist out of this world. And she is obviously a good wife because she'd been married on her eighth time, and she was... I'm sorry about that and all this. I appreciate the good singing. Man, what a blessing that's been all the way around. I miss Jesse. Somebody said, when you talk to Jesse, tell him I missed him today. Is he sick?
No, sir. He's in Houston with his dad.
Houston with his dad?
Yes, sir.
We should have just brought his daddy on church with him. I've been wanting to preach to some of his family anyway. No, that's all right. Anyhow, I just want to make sure he wasn't sick. Anyhow, I appreciate these gals just coming in, just jumping right on in it, and all the good special music. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Psalm. Let me see if this here, how's that working? Book of Psalm, if you take your Bible, the book of Psalm, chapter number 16. We're going to be looking there for just a moment, if you will, please. In chapter number 16, verse 11, if you're able to stand, and stand while we look there in the passage. Now, thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is the fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now, Father, thank you for the goodness of God. We ask your blessings upon it. We do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. I pray that now you speak to every heart, save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. By the way, if you've not met Miss Aubrey and Starmy, that's Brooklyn's sisters. We're glad they're here. We appreciate them being here. In fact, have y'all practiced singing yet? Have you been able to practice yet? Well, that's all right. They're going to get it lined up. And all that business there. You want to sing now? No, but all right. As soon as she practices, she wants to sing a song. And so anyhow, we'll get it all lined up and all that business there. And that's why I got all these guys here. Hey, I look down through here, and you talk about these fellas here. They look sharp. They are sharp. Man, I can remember when I never had that many muscles as some of y'all have got. But, hey, I'm glad to have you guys on board. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at here this morning, I want to say to you that it's good to be saved, to know the Lord in the free pardon of sin. Did you notice what he said? Thou wilt show me. That's a personal thing. And let me tell you right now, is God's going to show you the path of life. Now, all of us are born into the world, and they all came out, and they announced, you know, that I remember, you know, whenever we were having children, that was back before I got to go in. I only got to go in last with Sam, and I can't never unsee that. and all that business there. You know, we always, I mean, you used to could not go in and all that business there. And I'd just sit there and all that business there. And so they allow, oh, yeah, you can come right on into the birthing chamber now and all that. So, some of y'all actually like that. And what's why your mind's messed up, I don't know. But and I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying to you that if you will. I can skin a deer and I can skin a squirrel and a fish and this and that and all that business right there. I'm just not good in the birthing room. But the Bible said that whenever you begin to look in, the devil show me the path of life. You know, we're born into this world lost without God. We're born a sinner. And let me tell you, you better be on the right path before you leave this world we're living in. You're going to find out man is not born going to heaven. He's born going to hell. Same way, man, woman, boys or girls, everybody that's ever been born, ever shall be born of man, is lost without God and needs to be born into the family of God. In order to be able to do that, you're going to have somebody show you the path of life. Now, I can preach to you, and I can give you a chapter, book, and verse for most of whatever thing that I hadn't forgotten. But I got to tell you right up front, make no mistake about it, it's going to take God to show you the path of life. When I begin to watch this passage that's here, that we're not talking about God showing me down how to go down to church a little bit. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about God showing you where you're at and where you're headed and giving you the path that'll lead you to life. I got to say to you that whenever you begin to look into it, is that the whole psalm there in chapter number 16, that when we read that, notice that if you will, please, he said, "You'll show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And the reason why that he's saying that is because of the fact that you've been saved by the grace of God. Not only have you been saved, he preserves you to where that it's going to last and it's going to keep you forever and forever. You know, it's a personal thing to come to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. I have people all the time. They've got a little bit of religion and their hope for going to heaven is, well, I've been baptized. Didn't ask you that. If you died today, would you go to heaven? Well, you know, I sure hope that I would. Well, you can know that you would. If so be you come to Christ, he'll show you the path of life. Now, if all you ever get's a little religion, you're not going to find it. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out God will save you. He'll preserve your soul. He'll make you fit for heaven. He's the only one that can. And let me tell you, is that the reason being is because of the fact that he's a person that's living on the inside of me and on the inside of you. If so be, you're a child of God. In the lesson that we're looking at here, there's a passage over there in the book of Psalm in chapter number 140. I'll give you a moment to find it. Don't lose your place. But over there in the book of Psalm, chapter number 140, and it's in about verse number 4. And I got to tell you, I'm glad that God finally puts the want to be able to go to heaven in our hearts. And whenever he does that, make no mistake about it, you get washed by the blood, born into the family of God. And in the book of Psalm, chapter 140, verse number 4, he said, "Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked, and preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings." You know what's in the day and hour that we're living in? You know what the devil's given in the way of substitution? Anything that's contrary to the mind of God and the things of God. Do you realize that, you can tell what a congregation pretty much is made up of? And you can tell by looking at it, by its denomination, by who attends it and why they attend it. I can show you churches that are right now that have got more whores and whoremongers in it than anything else. I can show you churches that have got more beer drinkers and martini drinkers and lying and cheating, conniving, fornicating, adultery. I can show you churches that call themselves churches that are made up of that. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it. You ain't got to always be riding a horse that's 18 hands tall, and that's a tall horse, dear friend. But I got to say to you, when you begin to look into the Bible, you'll find that when God moves upon your heart, he'll not only save your soul, he'll not only quicken you and make you alive in Christ, but you'll find he shows you the path of life that'll lead you to heaven. Now, I can tell you this, and you've heard me say this over and over again, and I've got it from an old fellow by the name of Dr. Seitler, who's already in heaven. And boy, at these camp meetings and these sometime revival meetings or camp meetings, that's where they'd have him. And old Dr. Seitler, I remember him telling Marty Few, old Brother Marty, I remember him telling him and saying to Brother Marty, "If something happens that you hear that I'm dead, and that I've died, and I'm no longer existent, don't you believe it. And when you go out to the cemetery where they've got me planted, you can jump up and down on top of my grave, because that's what I'm going to be doing." I got to say to you that, if you will, that when you begin to look into it, that God not only will save you and wash you and make you clean, but he'll preserve you. And let me tell you right now, the promise of the Lord, buddy, is that he'll preserve you because of the fact we're his. I'm his, he's mine, he lives on the inside of me. And let me say to you that, make no mistake about it, we've been purchased and washed by the blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. in this lesson here that you're looking at, there's another passage that I wanted us to look at. And it's over there in the book of Philippians. And it's in chapter number 4. And it's in about verse number 7. But I want you to look in Psalms 141 and in verse number 9. There's a passage there. He said, keep me from the snares which they have laid for me and the gins of the workers of iniquity. In other words, the world and the flesh and the devil's always coming up with an alternate plan that can't do anything for you but make you just a little more religious and make you a little more cold and callous about the things of God. You know, I got to say to you, when people get saved, and name me the worst sinner you know of, and when people get saved by the grace of God, he makes a new creature out of them in Christ Jesus. Somebody wants to drag up your old sins and all that business, just tell them, look, I appreciate the fact that you want to brag on my old life, but how about let's brag it on my new life? How about let's talk about where God brought me from, where I would have been had it not been for the wonderful grace of God. You see, what God wants to do is God wants to make you his own and make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. I got to tell you right now is that when you begin to look into it, the Bible said we've been sealed. And over there in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse number 7, the Bible said you have the peace of God. We have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Somebody said, can you explain to me exactly what God has done for you? No. No, I can't verbally explain to you what God has done, because what God has done is a divine work and it's beyond my vocabulary to express it. But I can tell you this, it's better felt than telt, and I love trying to tell about it every now and again. In this lesson that we're looking at, in fact, that reminds me, whenever I said that, we were riding down the road one time years ago, and there was a sign, a religious sign, big billboard, you know. And as it looked there, somebody said, I'm glad I feel what I'm going on. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Make no mistake about it. What I've got, you can feel what you're going on. You can feel who you're following. You can feel why you're following. You can feel, no doubt about it, is that God will show you the path of life. And real living begins the day you get washed by the blood, born again into the family of God. Well, somebody asks you and say, well, hey, have you been born again? And you're saying, well, I don't know what that means. Well, then you're not. But let me tell you, if you'll come to Jesus Christ as an empty-handed beggar and ask him to save your soul, you'll be born into the family of God. I got to say to you that you'll find that we are certainly talking about a personal experience, and we're talking about a fact that we've trusted in a person. His name's the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, the Baptist Church can't save you. Jesus Christ can. No other denomination can save you. Jesus Christ can. You're going to find out there's no fraternal group, there's no organization, there's no ideology that can save you, but Jesus Christ can save your soul. If you'll come to him as an empty-handed beggar. I got to say to you that, if you will, that I remember whenever I first got saved, and now what a weight that had been lifted. And you know, I want to tell you right now is that I went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival time, this and that. We were there even in business meeting time. And man, that's always been a real treat, go to business meeting. And let me say to you that, if you will, that the day that Jesus came knocking on my heart's door and snatched me as a brand from the burning, what a wonderful day that it was. Now, you know, that's not something you're going to be able to mentally ascend to. That's not something you're going to be able to work up from within. That's going to be something that God comes knocking at your heart's door, and that he's going to save you and pluck you as a brand from the burning right where you are. And I can tell you right now, whenever he does, is that you're going to finally realize and recognize that, oh, you can't even walk without him holding your hand. You know, since the day I got saved, every day of my life I've been talking to the Lord. Every day. So I've not missed a day. I mean, there's some days, you know, that whenever I wake up and so forth and on, is that I may miss a day or two of deer season, and that's unusual. But as I get older, it's a lot easier to miss it. But I got to tell you right up front is that I've never missed one time. Now, not every time am I praising the name of the Lord. Sometimes I'm griping about what's going on. You know, every time that I look at somebody like Hillary Clinton, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, some of them other infidels, every time that I look at them, I want to throw up, I want to vomit, and I may talk to God in their behalf. But let me tell you right now, they're going straight to hell one of these days when they die, if they die in the condition they're in. Now, I know, and I'm going to say something, and you may not like it, and that's okay, and that's fine. But you'll find that that hell was not prepared for them, but for the devil and his angels. But that crowd's going to die without God and go to him if they die in the condition they're in. Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton and all of that crowd, when they die and go to hell, I'm not going to be sad about it. If I had the chance to witness to one of them, I would, but I don't, and I'm not. But if I see they've gone straight to hell, I'm going to know they deserved it. But the truth of the matter is, they're going where I deserve to go, but God showed me the path of life. You know, if he showed them the path of life, of course, Bill Clinton, you know, claims to be Baptist and all that, and claims to know that he, but see, you're not get saved by God showing you where Monica Lewinsky is. You're saved by God showing you the path of life. And as you begin to look into this Bible lesson here that we're talking about here this morning, you're going to find out is he not only saved us, but he preserved us. And let me tell you something, is that make no mistake about it. You and I may have nothing, yet we possess all things because we know him. You and I have got something money cannot buy. We have a purpose in life. We're glad that we do, and we're now a new creature in Christ Jesus. We're now an ambassador for Christ. Let me say to you that, if you will, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl is responsible with your lip and with your life to show somebody the path of life that God has shown to you. And that is to be able to talk to others about Christ Jesus, the Lord. I asked a person one time, I said, I want to ask you something. Let's just say, for instance, you're dying today. Do you know you'd go to heaven? I don't think I do. Would you like to be able to? Well, I don't know about right now. Well, who's promised you anything later? So you better not boast yourself of tomorrow. You know not what a day may bring forth. And if you want to be able to be seen the path of life, it's going to take God to open up your heart, to open up your mind, to open up your understanding, to show you yourself. You know, the hardest thing in the world for me to ever do was to admit I was lost, to find out I was lost without God. Now, you realize, I know, that I've always been a pretty good boy. Till I got in the Bible and seen there's none good, no, not one. See? I got to say to you that, if you will, please make no mistake about it. You're going to find out the reason why that I believe in what we've got is, look in verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. Look at that. I wonder who you trusted in this morning. If you've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, make no mistake about it, your soul is blessing the Lord. Your soul is magnifying him. Your heart is glad. I was glad, the psalmist said, when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, look in verse 2. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, and my goodness extendeth not to thee. You know, whenever I was looking at that and I was reading that, is that you'll find that's basically what everybody who has been shown the path of life says. I'm tired of living like I'm living. I'm tired of wondering about what I've been wondering. I'm tired of going through this over and over again. My goodness does not extend to God, but the goodness of God has granted me repentance that I could be saved by the grace of God. In this lesson, you'll find is that God's goodness is what brought us to a place of repentance. Now, in this lesson that we're looking at, I want to say to you that, if you will, there's a lot of the saints of God that are in the earth. And look in verse 3. But to the saints that are in the earth, look at that. And to the excellent in whom is all my delight, their sorrows will be multiplied that hasten after another God. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you can follow another God if you like to, but all you'll get is more sorrow. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer and take up their names to my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because that he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, and neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. I got to say to you that whenever you and I leave this world, is that one of these days they're going to go out there and they're going to put us in a tomb. And they'll bury us in a ground. But God's not going to leave us there. He's promised that whenever he comes again, he's going to come himself. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be changed in the moment, the twinkling of an eye, and caught up together with them that have resurrected from the tomb. We're going to be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's the reason why I'm always, whenever I'm preaching a funeral and telling people, listen, now if you're a child of God, Christians never meet for the last time. Our hearts are broken whenever our loved ones are taken. We miss them. Oh, Lord God, I can't tell you how bad I miss those that have gone on before us. But I got to tell you right up front is that I have not seen them for the last time. And if you're a child of God, neither have you seen those that have gone on before us as a child of God. You've not seen them for the last time. But now if you're not saved and you die without Christ, you had better enjoy them while you can, because you have seen them for the last time ever in eternity. You know, I'm headed a place to where I'm going to spend all eternity with those that are loved ones of mine. And let me tell you something, is that the goodness of God that brought me to repentance has promised me and preserved me and saved me and has preserved me until the day that Jesus comes again. Now, I want to say to you, that's why we're to carry the message to a lost and dying world, our lip as well as our life. You know, it's not enough just to be able to speak to somebody, but your life ought to show them there's a difference. Your life ought to be showing that, hey, something's happened in a divine sense in their life that can't be explained. I want to say in closing that, if you will, please, that he said, I'm going to bless the Lord. Look in verse 7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel, and my reins also instruct me in the night season. Now, do you realize it all? Whenever he says, I'm going to bless the Lord, it's because that God's our portion, a goodly heritage do we have. And he said, I'm going to bless the Lord in verse number 7 that we've just read. And did you notice he said at night, he gives me counsel and he's ever before me. My heart's glad and so forth and on. Do you remember over there, there's a passage over there in the book of Exodus when it said, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Now, he didn't talk about and say, remember the Sabbath day. God, well, you can live wild at night. No, remember the Sabbath day or night is what he's talking about. You see, there ought to be a time that you and I come aside, lest we come upon, and to realize and know that we have a resurrected hope, according to verse number 10, and that God, one of these days, while we may leave this world through the portal of death, God's not going to leave us, and God's not going to forget about us, even if our soul is in the tomb or in the ground or even in hell. He said, I'll not leave my soul there. You know, Jesus Christ, when before the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ, here's what happens to him. When on the cross of Calvary, that when Jesus bowed his head, gave up the ghost, said it's finished, he descended into the heart of the earth. And at that time, people that were saved and lost went into the heart of the earth. It was called hell, in modern language, Hades. But there was two compartments in the heart of the earth. One side was paradise and the other side was torment or hell. And you'll find that he preached to those prisons, to those people that were prisoners in hell, and he preached to them. Now the crowd that was in torment, he's not delivering them, but he's preaching to that crowd there that's been waiting for the resurrected Lord and Savior. And when Jesus resurrected from the tomb, he brought those saved spirits, those saved people, he brought them up out of their grave and as the first fruits of his resurrection. I don't know about you, but I guarantee you that had to be a sight to behold. Fact is, it made them guards fall down like they were dead. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out the resurrected Savior, that heaven's going to be a place for the presence of God and the presence of God's people. Now, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Immediately when I say bye in this life, and I may not have time to say bye, it'll change in the moment and in the twinkling of an eye. And from here to there, there you are. And you can't measure that. It's too fine and too quick a measurement. I want to say to you that, if you will, is that we'll be in the presence of God forevermore and forevermore. In the book of Hebrews, in chapter 1, about verse number 3, the Bible talked about the brightness of his glory. The Bible talked about the express image of his person. The Bible talked about that whenever he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Do you realize at all that whenever you go to heaven, you're going to see Jesus on the right hand of the Heavenly Father? Do you realize and know that whenever over there in the book of Acts, in about chapter number 7, whenever they were stoning Stephen to death, he looked up and said, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the throne of God. And boy, they stopped their ears, didn't want to hear that. I got to say to you that it's joy to our ears. It's joy to our heart. It's joy because of the fact that you and I have come to know him in the free pardon of sin. Now, you know, there's people in the world that have never heard the gospel. Those who have never heard the gospel die without hope and die without the Lord, not because they said no to the Savior, because they've never even heard of the Savior. And that's why you and I are commanded to carry the message to them. But I want to say to you that, if you will, make no mistake about it, that one of these days we're going to see he who has by himself purged our sins and has sat down at the right. You know why he sat down at the right hand of the Father? The work of redemption's already done. We're not working on the buddy plan. Let me say to you that, if you will, it's a real religious world we're living in. But I'm not talking about being shown something religious. I'm talking about being shown the path of life in a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Now, Father, we thank you for the goodness of God that led and brought us to repentance. We've heard the word. We've heard the singing. We rejoice and we're exceedingly glad. The fact that thou art God, beside thee there's none else. Now bless the word to every heart. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shake hands.